The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, last week the architect and television presenter Dermot Bannon picked a book by Luigi Snozzi, Building and Projects, 1985 to 1993, and placed it on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. This week it is the turn of a television presenter, radio presenter as well, Anna Daly. So, Anna, have you read Luigi Snozzi's Building and Projects, 1985 to 1993?
How can I possibly follow that, Kieran?
I know. I've read his projects pre-1985 and post-93, but not that particular window. Anyway, not fair to slag Dermot. He's not here. Oh, very good. Pun unintended. So, what's your favourite book? What are you placing up on the bookshelf?
I am going to place, and I'm probably not the first to place this on the bookshelf because it's recent and it's popular. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to go really highbrow with a Ulysses style book, but I'm going to be real. And when I do finally get the chance to pick up a book, as you'll well know, in a busy house with kids, I just want something nice and easy and fun and takes me off somewhere, kind of a comfort blanket. So I'm choosing Graham Norton's Frankie.
So this is this his most recent novel?
It is. It's his fifth.
Okay, so tell us about it.
So this is the story of Frankie, funnily enough. She's an 84-year-old Irish woman who has led the life, but it very cleverly kind of switches between her conversations in kind of a humble London flat. She's 84 years of age, grew up in West Cork, but she's ended up in this London flat sharing stories with her Irish carer. And the only reason she starts kind of softening towards this guy, Damien is his name, is because she realises he's from the same part of West Cork as she is, Ballytor, which I'd imagine is a fictitious name, but I'm open to correction on that one. But yeah, you know yourself, when you hear someone's from the same neck of the woods, you go, okay, maybe you're a little piece of me.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a bit of trust there and the chat starts. So it flits back to Wapping, is where the flat is in London, to there all the time. So a very clever device. And then it will jump to Cork in the 50s, which is innocent and green. And she has a very... an awful tragedy happened to her as a child, and I won't ruin anything, but it will jump off that, back to the flat, back to a life in London, to a life in New York. So it goes from a very innocent, humble upbringing, real Irish, to kind of cool, gay London, to the art scene of the 60s New York. So it takes you to lots of places. And I heard Graham Norton in one of the many interviews he did to publicise this book, he said, and I thought it was funny because, you know, it makes perfect sense, Frankie is the main character, has been nowhere that I haven't been.
Okay.
So, you know, write
there's
what
a bit
you know.
There's a bit of Graham Norton in this.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, she's an 84-year-old Irish woman, but there's a lot of... you know, real life experiences of Graham Norton here. And there's lots of sophistication and cool parties and cool music and art. And it's just a gorgeous book.
Have you read his other books?
I have read one or two. I would be lying if I said I read all five of them now.
And are they of a similar style? Is there a Graham Norton style?
There absolutely is.
Okay.
And I would describe it very similar to... I heard someone ask him in an interview in the publicity tour of this this novel, why do you continue to kind of put pressure on yourself? Because you're a massively successful broadcaster. Do you know what I mean? And I actually think that's quite a sensible question. Like, you enjoy your bloody downtime.
Yeah.
Rather than...
thinking I have to write 2,000 words today.
Deadlines with publishers, you know? Because that's what happens in the real world of publishing. You're in a 5-book deal or whatever it is. And actually, I could answer that question for you because he's absolutely brilliant at it. I mean, you feel like you're sitting in the sitting room. And one of the things he said before, so
the real question is, why is he bothering with the TV? Pack it in.
I'd say it pays more.
Yeah, probably.
Or maybe one feeds the other. But he did say before, and these words stuck in my head because they obviously resonate, and I think most Irish people will totally get this. He said, you know, for as long as he's lived in the UK, it's you don't really know people in the way you know Irish people because you've been in their sitting rooms. And that really makes sense to me. Do you know what I mean? When you think of your friends and growing up, like, you know the details of their sitting rooms. You know the colour of their fireplace. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
you haven't been in
it
for
level.
Years. You can picture them.
You can picture the TV you hung out in. Do you know what I mean? And that says a lot about his writing style. It's kind of that Maeve Binchy. You feel like you're sitting in the sitting room. You feel like you can feel the wind coming through the window, or the curtains blowing, or the dancing happening. You feel like you're part of it. It's an incredible art.
And when you then have time and you reach for a book like this one, like Frankie, is it always fiction? Do you ever read nonfiction? Or is there just so much nonfiction for work? You're just, ugh.
You see,
I need fiction
to
escape.
As well. You know yourself when researchers, producers go, will you read this for the interview on Friday or whatever? And that's not particularly enjoyable, you know, most of the time because it's part of work. So, you know, the times for me where I actually open a book and enjoy it is on holidays.
Yeah.
Usually it's on holidays, to be honest with you. The rest of the year I plan to read and don't really get there. Most of the time, or I read a page or two and I'm asleep.
Yeah, the book hits you in the nose in the bed.
Exactly.
I know. Listen, that's a great book. That's the first time that's gone up on the bookshelf. That book.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I was thinking I'm going to be terribly unoriginal.
No.
But I'm going to stand over it. Little Pastry Pots. I scribbled this down because I just thought that's so sweet. She talks about when she's 10 years of age in Cork and one of her friends has very wealthy parents.
Yeah.
And for the first time ever, the child in her class is having a party that's not in their house. And like that, I can tell you that. Like that would have been very fancy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Whereas now no one does it in the house.
Exactly.
Because you don't want the mess to clean up. No, we'll go to the PlayStation.
We're going to jump zone. Yeah. We're going to whatever, exactly. You know. So she said she went to this function room and she'd never gotten over the sophistication of this. She'd never seen the likes of it before. Little pastry pots stuffed with chicken in a sauce. So they're all like vol-au-vents served, but she'd never seen anything like it, you know. And that's obviously him reverting back to childhood.
Some experience of his first vol-au-vent.
Someone fancy in his class.
So it's always difficult to kind of pick one book. So we allow kind of honourable mention of other books. So what do you want to mention?
Okay, I feel like honourable is actually a very good word for this. And I don't want to bring anyone down or make anyone sad sitting in traffic this evening. But this is a friend of mine, Laura Doyle, wrote this book with a girl called Sarah Tobin, who went through a very similar experience. It's called The Other Side of the Door. And as someone who's gone through miscarriage twice, and obviously this is a friend of mine, and this was done in a charitable way. So what happened to Laura and her husband was that she was pregnant and they were expecting a baby boy and naturally hugely excited. During the pregnancy, they found out that the baby had heart issues and possibly wouldn't be compatible with life is probably the best way to put it. So she went into give birth, knowing that this wasn't going to end well. And she would be going in to deliver a baby that she wouldn't be taking home. Those words really hit hard when you say them out loud, actually. But she delivered the baby and the baby, Beau Max Doyle, stayed on her chest for 10 minutes before he passed away. And, you know, she likes to talk about the fact that it was pain-free. It was the greatest love. It was, you know, it was beautiful, actually, for 10 minutes. But afterwards, obviously, you have grief. You have a funeral. You have music to pick.
Yeah.
And there was no resources. And that's no reflection on anyone in any maternity hospital in Ireland. But there was no book to pick up. So she decided, I'm going to write this, my journal, and I'm going to gather up other stories of women who have gone through similar things and make this a book that's now available in pretty much all maternity hospitals around Ireland.
Okay.
The Other Side of the Door, This Will Break Your Heart, is because on the other side of the door, when she was experiencing total silence with this baby who'd passed away, all she could hear was shrieks of joy, newborn cries, you know, celebratory whoops from new parents. And that in itself is heartbreaking. But I think what she's done with this is quite incredible. And I think there's a baby loss charity who have this in their memory box as well. So this isn't a commercial venture.
Yeah.
For her. This was just someone else might benefit from this.
That's a really worthy mention.
Isn't it?
Absolutely. In the truest sense of the word. So The Other Side of the Door by Laura Doyle with Sarah Tobin as well. So you've got a Matt Haig book with you as well, I notice.
Yes.
So this is the guy he wrote Midnight Library, which I read.
You're not sure?
It was okay.
Yeah.
There was a lot of fuss about it.
Yeah, there was.
I wasn't mad about it.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you.
I wasn't mad about it,
I don't even know if I finished it.
Yeah, really?
No.
It was our book club, we were reading it, and I think a few people didn't finish it, didn't bother.
Okay.
They just felt the mechanic was kind of silly in it.
Yes.
Just allowed them to kind of... what's that Deus Ex Machina thing? Kind of, you know, he could kind of do what he wanted. Anyway, it was kind of stupid.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to disagree with you at all.
I went from I'm not really sure to it's kind of stupid.
It's kind of crap,
yeah,
actually.
Fine, I'm just going to get off the fence.
But I'll tell you what I do like is this one, the comfort book. And this is just one of those books that if you have any book beside your bed and it's not a full story with a start, middle and end, it's just something that you pick up when life gets a bit overwhelming or you literally just want to read a paragraph or a page of kind words to yourself, you know? And they are literally just like a few lines. I open random page here. Be curious, go outside, go to bed on time, hydrate, breathe from the diaphragm, eat happy, get a routine baggy enough to live in. Be kind. Now, you're probably like my husband looking at me going, what a load of drivel. But I actually find the comfort book quite comforting.
All right, okay, no judgment. This is a judgment-free zone, Anna. That's
nice. He's scoffing.
But, you know, your husband is a very intelligent and, you know, insightful man. That's all I'll say about that.
Listen, the joy of this item, I believe, is that everyone has different tastes.
Everyone has different tastes. Anyway, you just keep breathing from that diaphragm. What are you reading at the moment?
I am reading what everyone seems to have read, Intermezzo.
Oh, I haven't read it. No. Wasn't mad about Normal People. Yeah. I just found I didn't really like any of the characters in Normal People. You know, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, I like
Take or leave
people.
Any of these lads.
Are you talking about the book or the
book.
TV?
Yeah, the book. I never watched the TV show.
Did you not?
No.
You must be on your own there, Carol.
Let it pass me by.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it was such a big cultural zeitgeist.
I know it was.
Zeitgeist-y
Sometimes though,
thing.
You know when a zeitgeist, when it goes so long without you watching it that it kind of becomes a point of principle that you're
not going to
do it.
Yeah,
I'm not
going to
do that now. Like people who've never seen Star Wars until now, they'll never watch it.
That's
they'll never. Well, there you go. Are you ever going to watch it?
No, I've
no
interest.
No, exactly.
Why would I?
Yeah. So is Intermezzo any good?
I'm only on chapter 2 and I'm going to say I'm not reading it in the way I was enthusiastically going through Graham Norton's words.
Hasn't reeled you in?
Hasn't reeled me in yet. Now that could change to 3 or 4.
I'll
keep you posted on that one.
All right. Do you give up a book if you don't like it?
Oh yeah.
Ah, good.
Oh, attention span is not.
These people who say you have to finish a book.
Oh, stop it. Life's too short.
Absolutely.
It's like a bad movie. You have to turn it off.
You do. Anna, listen, thanks for that. That was great fun. Anna Daly, presenter and broadcaster.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.